Jesus. Glory be to God. Before we get into the lesson tonight, this is a wonderful thing. You know, we've always talked about getting head knowledge of something and then eventually it seeping down into our hearts, where I believe, for lack of a better term, where revelation takes place. I believe revelation takes place when it reaches our hearts.
Yes.
I think if you want to look at revelation as a process, I don't know. If it is, then the process is it begins in the head. Got to get in there first. Seeps down to the heart. So what I'm about to say, like, yeah, we've known this for 400 years. But you know, what the Lord is turning on the light in my heart, what he's writing on the fleshy tables of my heart, if you will, is that he loves us. Now, that's not earth shattering. It is earth shattering, but you say, well, we know that. We've heard this for 400 years. But, and I'm not, I don't really know how to put it into words, but he loves us. And I see that in a whole different light than ever before. And I'm hoping I can articulate some of this to you. You know, I guess I know that God loves us, at least up here, and starting to sink in here. But one of the things that I think he shared with me was, or is, one of the things that was shared with me is the fact that, how would you word it? You know, it's like, help me, Lord. God loves us, but too often, God loving us is used as a cover up for our sin, and I'll explain that in a second, and to paint God as a softy. And I'm gonna tell you what I mean by that. And so because the word God loving us is used like that, I've heard it used like that so many times, it's almost like I never really have meditated on the fact that God loves us in a sense. I mean, we know that he loves us, we know that he shed his blood, he gave his life, and he loves us unconditionally, and he's gonna let us sit down and serve. And we've gone over this for years. But it's almost like I haven't allowed myself to really fully just bask in it, I guess, because of, I believe, what I perceive as a misuse of the teaching of the love of God, in a sense. So what I mean by that is this. Folks can be sinning in church and be Christians. And they say, well, God loves us. So instead of dealing with the sin, oh, and in so doing that, oh, but God loves us, you don't deal with the sin, and you paint God as a softy, or as like, oh, well, you know, it's all right, you know, because God loves us. Yeah, he does love us, but that's not an appropriate use of the love of God to cover for your sins. Because remember, he scourges every child whom he receives. That's love. You're not to use the love of, and nobody's here doing it. I'm just saying what I've heard over churches and ministries. It's used by ministries even today, and maybe more so today, as a, like, just to convince the people of God that he loves us no matter what, which on one hand is sort of that way, but on the other hand, realize that does not excuse that he still hates sin. Even though he loves you, he doesn't love your sin.
Yeah.
And he never will. And that should never be used as a cover for that, or that's not the time to speak that, in a sense. And I feel that it is used so blanketly for those reasons, to try to just, you know, it's no big deal. He loves us, you know, in the first place, you know, God loves us. And then, of course, his mission that we talked about is that God loving the whole world. But he doesn't love the world, not like he loves us. So there's some, and we actually taught on this, I'm thinking of it, in the series, The Love of God, of the holiness, or the God of the Bible, rather. But even in teaching on that, when we were teaching that, it was being taught like that, like, you know, the misuse of the love of God, even by Christians. And now fully coming to an understanding of what that love really does and what it is and what it means, so that we can go ahead and then, so that I can go ahead and really enjoy his love. And I think what the Lord was letting me know these last couple of days was kind of a breakthrough for myself personally to understand that he really does love us. Meaning that the sacrifices that he's made for us were real sacrifices. I know we know that. I mean, think about what he did. He shed his blood. We know these things here, at least I do. But it's starting to seep down in here. You know, he really does love us. Oh, somebody locked the front door? Did somebody lock the front door?
Yes.
Girl, open that front door. Oh, okay. Sorry, fella. All right. I really need your feedback because I know I'm rambling. Do you understand what am I all over the map?
I know what you're trying to say.
Thank you. Help me.
I want to know, like, when you say God loves us, a lot of times I think people kind of use God loves us so he'll forgive. You know what I mean?
Kind of
like that implied kind of thing.
Yeah, and our sin is so therefore that makes our sin no big deal. And it's, you know, I don't know.
I think we look at it like, I think a lot of times God loves us is looked at more so as God loves us and he'll forgive us. And more so than it's looked at as God loved us and he sacrificed for us. You know what I mean? And he gave for us and he empowered us. You know what I mean? Like, with his power and, you know.
Having heard it like that, like God loved us, so this is what he will do for me in the middle of my sin or in the middle of my weaknesses and things like that, instead of realizing what that love has done, you know, what it has already. That's a very good point. Thank you for helping me because I'm still trying to get this together. It's just like just a revelation of coming out of that mode, because I believe I had to stay in that mode for years. Because of the misuse of the love of God in trying to just, well, I've sinned, but God loves me and he'll forgive me. Well, he will, but does that make you treat your sin as something light and flighty? And I think it does. And it's under the guise of saying, well, God loves me, you know. You know, just like, you know, Christian mothers who go and offer their babies up on the sacrifice of, on the altar of sacrifice. I love how in the movie Abby Johnson put that. On the altar of sacrifice, their children go to the abortion clinic and say, well, God will forgive me because he loves me. That's a misuse of it, in a sense, to excuse your sin. That's what I've been hearing shades of that. And there's some other words that are coming to right now. I've been hearing shades of that for years and years and years. It's like the first thing is that the minister or the counselor or whoever just wants to convince the person, well, God loves you. Maybe that's not the time to convince them. Maybe that's not the time to talk about that right now. Because if that helps to soften them concerning their sin, then that's not what God wants that person to hear at that moment. And you know, there are times God doesn't want them to hear that. I'm not saying he doesn't love them. I'm saying still be led by Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit tell them this is what you're to say at that time.
Amen.
And I think I've been in this kind of had this shell on all this time, in a sense. Yes, he loves us, comma, but he hates sin. Yeah. Yes, he loves us, but he hates sin. He will always hate sin. His love does not cause his hatred for sin to wane any bit. As a matter of fact, because he is love, he has to be hate on this area, in this area.
Yeah.
Because he's holy and pure, he has to have this detestable loathing towards sin. And I really think that a lot of Christians don't understand the love of God. I really don't. For that very reason, that it's mistaught or misused. Instead of saying used, it's like we learned on Sunday about Christianity has been misused. Not used, but misused. Same thing with the teaching of the love of God has been misused. Anyone else? Because I want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? I guess what I'm asking. Yes, ma'am.
It makes sense. That was the reason I wanted to leave my church, because all I heard about was the love of God.
Okay, all right, there you go.
But I never heard about how to use the weapons of God and how to get over. But I can tell you, sermon after sermon, it was all about the love of God.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I've been hearing for years. Yes, sir.
I think a lot of times people use it to not grow. They use it as an excuse to continue in their sins. You know,
100%.
Taking the grace of God for granted.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I've heard it said by so many people who claim to be Christians, and it's just it gives them, it allows them to feel good in the midst of committing sins.
Yes, sir. That's the armor I kind of had on, because that's how I've been hearing it for years, and you follow what I'm saying. Even when we talked about it 2 years ago on the God of the Bible. And I believe I was being led to kind of put the love of God in the life of his people in the right compartment, if you will. And not let it spread all over into the sin and shame department, and kind of to soften any of that or make excuses, make us feel comfortable. Because God is wants us to know, no, that's not what you're to do with that. Don't do that. Because too many of his real, genuine, so shown off Christians, and also their so-called too, are putting it in that department. And I think personally, until a couple of days ago, I think maybe that I won't say prohibited, maybe of really kind of just basking in his love for myself as an individual. And just like really just, man, yeah, you do love us. But what when he opened that up just a little bit for me to see a little bit more, was I thought about what he's done in the past, not trying to cover what I'm doing right now in the present. Think about his past. Just think. And I think part of it is just talking about him, us being his master. And a lot of this was triggered really by the Sunday teaching on our supreme identity. And that's something he uses that. But the fact that we're his slaves and that we're going to sit down, he's going to serve us. I think that kind of, he used that to kind of open up like, man, that's some incredible love.
Yes.
The fact, and to hear things, remember the Lord speaking through me to us, to hear him say to us that the master shed his blood for the slaves, you know, to hear that out and to hear that a few more times, like it triggered something. Like, man, that's some serious love.
Yes.
You gave. Do y'all realize he literally shed his blood for us? I understand it indirectly because he did it for God, but he shed his blood for us. You follow what I'm saying? That's really crazy. Jesus and God, they don't just talk love. They show it. And it's like, Lord, you really do. I was in the basement. And I'm like, man, you really do love us, and this love will never, ever change, wander, or become less than, not one degree will he ever love us any less. His love for us is everlasting, and it is intense love that never wavers. You say, I've heard all this before. Yeah, man, but hear that anew.
Yes.
Everything that God allows in our life, whether it is good or challenging, and I won't say good or challenging, because if God allows it, it's going to work out for good. Whatever he allows is because he loves us.
Amen.
And it is an unconditional love, and it's a love that will continue throughout all eternity. I mean, the fact that he chose us, no goodness of our own, we were sinners like just like everybody else. We aren't the brightest and the best. Just chose us on his own mercy.
Yeah.
To overlook that, looking for trinkets here, or to misuse that, trying to cover up your sins, is really a blasphemous in the face of God. It really is. He loves us.
Yes.
And I thank God, and maybe it's good, God knows the timing of releasing this to another level here, Word of Life, because we're not going to use it like that in a sense of trying to cover our sins or soft, be comfortable in our sin. We're going to use it not for even not even thinking about the present. It's about what he has already done. This if we just focus on what he's already done, it is really enough to drive us to act right. It really ought to. Because he don't have to give his life again, but he gave his life. He will never take another beating again, but he got beaten. He was brutally beaten. It was the chastisement needful to obtain our peace was upon him. And with those bruises and beatings and scars and the open wounds and the exposed vital organs due to the beating, that we are healed and made whole. Father God, help us to get a hold of this love and put it in the proper place in our heart and mind, where it belongs. Powerful, the love of God. And when it's properly used and understood, it ought to bring us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. It ought to be just syrupy sweet. Just thank you, Lord. Because he's getting us the proper understanding. Proper understanding. What made God so love the world? His own self. Right? He's sovereign. Remember Hebrews? He can swear by no greater. He swear by himself. He just chose. And I know the Arminians don't like that, but he just chose. There was nothing we saw. Nothing he saw in the corridors, looking down the corridors of time. Remember we told you when he looked down the corridors of time, what did he see? Nothing but corpse, because everybody was dead.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking.
Yeah.
That's all he saw. He saw the landscape littered with billions of corpses. And he could have said, oh well. But at that point, symbolically speaking, he nudges the Son of God and says, I need you to go down and die for these folks right here. Because Jesus' death in time, right? Remember, all of this is planned in eternity past before it ever got started. And so when he symbolically nudges Jesus and says, I need you to go down for them, then Jesus has to come in time. And I know you know this, ice Eskimo. But he has to come down in time to make it a reality. Because we're not just saved in theory. Here, it's in eternity past, but it hasn't yet happened in real time. And so here comes Jesus in time. Remember, time begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. So here comes Jesus in time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sheds real blood. Takes on real pain. For real people yet to be born and those who had already been born. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when he was nailed on that cross on Golgotha's hill over 2,000 years ago, when that blood dripped out of his veins, it fell right into our hearts, symbolically speaking. And for that, we are forever grateful. We owe him our lives. That's what love ought to prompt us to do. The proper understanding of the love of God ought to prompt us to say, you know what, I owe you my life. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. That's what a Christian is, really truly is. That's why I've been using that phrase for years, so-called Christians, because I don't know if you are or not. And thank God I ain't got to try to figure it out. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. So I'll make statements like, according to their works, they don't look like Christians. But I will never say with gavel-dropping certainty, that's not a Christian. Because a Christian should look like Christ Jesus. He's a miniature Christ Jesus. Why? Because we say as he says, we think as he thinks, we have the attitude that he has the attitude of, and we act as he acts. And that's a lifelong, it should be a lifelong obsession. That's a word, obsession. We ought to be obsessed with being like Christ Jesus. An obsession that just consumes us. That's part of that song, Set a Fire. That's what I want. Why? Because he first loved us. He says we love him because he first loved us. That paved the way for us to be even capable of loving him. Well, paved the way because he first loved us. Oh, the love of God. Here's the love of God put on display, that a man that would die for his friends. I forgot that he would die for his friends. He said, I call you friends, Jesus said. Isn't that something? You call slaves friends. You die for the slave. The master serves the slave. What kind of, this is turned all upside down. But that's the love of God. Yes. Human love can't fathom that. And we barely can with the Holy Spirit. Because it's still way over our head. When we sit down on that day and he's serving us some bacon and eggs. I don't know what he's going to serve us, you know. With some flapjacks, blueberry pancakes. I don't know. But when we sit down, we're going to be tripping.
Yes.
Is this really happening?
Yeah.
Father God, help us to be more heavenly minded and earthly good. I just had to share that with you. I know it came out a little staggered, but because it's just still happening, if I was just trying to understand it, but I do know this, is that the love that he has shown us has produced a salvation, justification, and eventually glorification that can never be taken away. There's nothing we can do to cause him to love us less. Now that can be a dangerous statement to a ill-informed or an uninformed Christian. That can be a dangerous statement. Oh, that means I could just sin. Well, if that's the thought in your mind, I question your salvation. Because a person who's truly saved don't want to just find out ways to sin against God. I question your salvation. It ought to be like, well, thank you for your mercy.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, well, I can just sin. No, that shouldn't be the thought. It ought to be an embracing. It ought to be a shaking of the head. Why in the world do you love us so? Yes, ma'am.
I think that's just when you think about when Paul, I mean, we're in Philippians, we're living in the Word, so of course we're going to be on to live as Christ and to die as gain. And I think it was also Paul who said that he doesn't want to know anything else but Jesus and him crucified.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that when you think about the early church, that's why it was always about Christ and what he did. Because through that, then you understand the true love of God, and then you want to live for it. But as you talk about Christianity and light, which is not necessarily a false doctrine, it's just not teaching the full breadth of Scripture.
Yes, ma'am.
People can't understand the true love of God if they don't understand the Scripture.
That's right.
If they're not reading the Scripture, if they're not even, not just what's on the page, but also the essence of what we were saying in Philippians, it's the epistle of joy. Well, what's joyous about it? He's in prison. Then you begin to understand the love of God, that he understood what was done for him, so much so that what we in the natural would consider horrendous, he could count all joy.
Man.
Because he understood that. And that's why I think they spent so much time in every instance just talking about Christ and him crucified.
Yes, ma'am.
And him
yes, ma'am.
I think that it's important sometimes to have topical other topics. It's important to have other things. But if your church is not solid in understanding the very essence of who God is and what he did, the rest, it's fluff. So when you talk about the love of God, what's the foundation? What's the stuff that you can't even understand?
Exactly.
You can't understand the very basic
of
what you said your faith is about.
And that's why what you just said right there, I think that's why he had moved on me to just kind of stay in the vein of love of God, of what he's done for the last 19 years. Exactly right. So we don't fall into that.
Yeah.
And like you said, when you all you're left with is fluff, that's the L-I-T-E. And if you're left with the fluff, then you never get a hold of that understanding what the love of God really is. We'll just try to use it to try to. Yeah. So, very well put. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We talk about here about quote unquote, celebrating Christmas and Easter year round. Because the birth of Christ gave way to the life of Christ, which is what we skip. I remember we all look at you because we tend to here at Word of Life we emphasize life. Mm-hmm. Here to go to birth to the death, but the Word of God says He lived a sinless life.
Yes, clothing His righteousness.
Yes, ma'am.
He clothed His righteousness without righteous life.
Preach it, my sister. Yes, ma'am. That's all right. You on point. Speak it. Thank God we emphasize that here because he lived a sinner. The Word of God said, neither was there no guile who did no sin.
Yeah.
No, were there any guile or deceit or trick he found in his mouth. So it's the virgin birth and sinless life and then the sacrificial death, the miraculous resurrection, and then the subsequent ascension. And him being seated on the right hand of God. You got to talk. That's Christmas and Easter all in one sentence.
Yeah.
And thank God here we put it all together. It's not just because there are some who just celebrate Christmas, or celebrate the birth of God, say nothing of the life. Don't realize that that's the example because we can't be born miraculously. So that's we can't copy that. And if he's led an example we're supposed to follow, then what are we going to follow? We can't copy the death. Thank God. I ain't trying to copy that.
Amen.
Or the beating. What are we to copy? His life. That's for us. When it says, when he was insulted, he didn't offer insult. We ought to work on not doing that. When he says that, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, we got to work on that. When it says, love your enemies, that's what he did. He told God, lay not this sin to their charge. What in the world? We not man, kill all these fools. Beat me like that. I ain't did nothing wrong. But the very God who created wood, it turned into a hammer. And he created iron. They turned and killed the Son of God. And that's something. And he asked God to forgive them. And then Stephen followed everything. All right. Stephen follows that and says unto the Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
That's a Christian.
Amen.
And at the center of our Christ-like walk is understanding the love of God.
Yes.
There's nothing he withheld from us. That's what Romans 8 talks about. For he doesn't withhold his own son from us, but he not freely with him give us all things.
Yes.
You're worried about rent? Really? Car, a job. I gave you my son. God so loved the world that he gave his son, his most precious possession. Man, we gonna hold on to our second Big Mac. Period. You ain't getting that Big Mac. Let alone the first one. He gave us his only begotten son. A treasured possession. His son. He gave him to us for some knuckleheaded enemies. We were enemies of God. Hostile to God. That love is deep.
Yes.
One songwriter refers to it as the ocean. Ocean of love. Lost in the ocean of love. The depths of it is unbelievable. I think Colossians talks about that we may understand the breadth, the depth, and the height of that love, to know the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. Father God, help us get to know that. More than just in our head. He loves us. And I think we're hearing this in the right way. Almost every time I've heard it taught, it's almost seeming just to get soften it up, get folks to get comfortable. It's not taught in this vein here. It's almost like what he is doing and what he's going to do for me, rather than what he already has done. He loved me, so he's gonna give me a car. He loved me, so he's gonna give me a husband. He loves me, so he's gonna give me some good kids. And he loves me, I'm gonna hit that three-pointer next time. He loves me, I'm gonna make all A's instead of all B's. And it's all, it's like that. Not like he loved me because he got beaten down like a dog, lied upon. He allowed it all for us. He allowed it all for us. The trial was illegal and it was unjust. It was illegal because it was held early in the morning. You're not supposed to hold trials that early in the morning. So it was an illegal trial. Hurrying up to brought in liars. And when the other liar, when they were trying to get the liar together, they couldn't even get together. They was arguing among themselves trying to get the lie on Jesus. He just sat there and let all of it go. As a sheep to the slaughter. It's unfathomable. Father God, we need your help to understand it. We can report it. We can talk about it. But do we really get it? And that's where we need your help. In a mighty way. Amen. We got 3 minutes. Anyone else?
Before I knew anything about God, that was one of the things I was kind of confused about, because, you know,
about the love of God.
Well,
or what? I'm confused
about, like, I knew some killers, and they, like, I got baptized, and they, you know, I mean, they go around killing people and stuff, and they thought that it was gonna be excused. Wow. And it just was confusing. It didn't make sense to me, you know. And I knew a lot of people who felt that way. You know, I knew guys who did drive-bys, and they had Bibles in their car.
Wow.
You know, and they felt like, well, I got the Bible with me, Jesus, my, you know, riding shotgun. And they would go and do all kinds of dirt.
Wow.
And it just was a thing that didn't make sense.
I see what you're saying.
You know, me.
Yes, sir. I got
a lot of people use that, and I have to believe on some level they believed it.
Sure.
You know, they believed that, and it was, you know.
Wow.
You know, it was, and I'm, you know, watching people, listening, talking to people, and as I'm living my life and I'm growing up, and I'm like, this is.
So this is not right.
This something ain't right.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And it just, for a long time, it didn't make sense to me.
Yes, sir.
That the forgiveness and the love of God, and, you know, I think what's so wonderful about the Word of God is that the anthropomorphism, that how God is given to us as a father, and me becoming a father kind of really put things into perspective.
Man,
and being able to love my children, discipline my children, knowing that I love them unconditionally, no matter what they do, but because they love me in return, they try not to disappoint me, and they try to behave.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
because that we love each other, mm-hmm. You know, what was confusing me is that they didn't love God; mm-hmm. They relied on the love of God towards them to cover everything. And then, you know, when you love God in return, you want to do things that should give him glory.
That's true. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So
that was where I had it. I mean, I was, it didn't make sense for me for a long time.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, I had people tell me, oh man, you just, you know, we was smoking and drinking. Uh-huh. And he was like, man, and we was having this conversation. Mm-hmm. He was like, you just don't get it, man. You just don't. He was explaining to me, like, I'm good, you know. You know, I'm doing this, and I was like, this don't make any sense.
Right, you know? Right. Right, amen. And I don't know if you know this fella's testimony. So him was, you know, they were, and a lot of that is bad teaching by pastors. A lot of that is bad teaching by pastors. And the Lord God's going to hold them accountable, whatever way, however that looked. But basically, fella was told by pastors in churches that, you know, basically all you got to do is just repeat this prayer and say this prayer, or do this one time act. Remember, we talked about that. Just do this one time act, and that one time act gonna cover you no matter what happens. You cannot get unsaved once you do this one time act, whether do the confession, do the baptism. And he said he just knew that wasn't right. When he came to Word of Faith, a Word of Life, you know a testimony. He came here to kind of pay me back. Yeah. And do me this solid for helping him with his dad, you know. Say, well, I'm a guy going, you know, I go and do him this solid. He helped me out, I go and, you know, out of respect and go by the church, you know. So that's why he came. Like I tell the story, out of all the subjects in the Bible, we could have been teaching on. We haven't been teaching on, like, you know, the lifestyle and behind the act. And I tell you, that reeled him in. He came up to me. He said, I knew it. I knew, I don't know if you didn't do his name. Not this. I knew it. I knew that wasn't right. Out of all the subjects, yes, we were teaching on Luke 14, where he says, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to do this. You got to do this. Yes. Give up your life. Yes. Give up your possess, if I ask you. You got to do all of that. Yes. And that's led him, because that's what he hadn't heard.
Right.
Yes. All those years. And it was the Lord. Now, your cousin and your homeboy saying, man, this is right. This is all right. You know, this is all right. But you think, like, man, something ain't right. That was the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because you could have just, he could have just morphed in and melted in with everybody else's thought. Well, they right. It must be right. But it wasn't right. The Lord kept telling him, this is not right.
Yeah.
This is not right. And he kept that in his heart until he came to Word of Life in 07. So that was some years. Might have been 15, 20 years. Yeah. That's why I say keep praying for your people.
Yes.
Keep praying for your people. And thank God that he's bringing the love of God and putting it in the right perspective here in our hearts and minds, that we don't misuse it.
Yes.
Because God, it looks like God is allowing himself to be misused. Could we just do anything, say any kind of thing, talk any kind of way, live any kind of way. Believe me, that's where Galatians comes in. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. God suffers long. He suffers long. He'll allow us and allow us and allow us. But believe me, everybody's going to get their due. So it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, an angry God. So, Father God, we thank you for more clarity on your love, putting it in its proper perspective, the way you would have us to understand it and to relish it and to cherish it, to enjoy it, not to cover up sin, not to be comfortable in sin, not to use it as a license to go on sinning, because you'll never stop loving us. Wow. I mean, just saying it like that is really just abusing your love. He loves me, so let me just do anything. Wow, that's really what you think? Some of those preachers need to be beat down. Because those guys off the streets didn't just learn that on the streets, certainly. They heard somebody tell them that. Someone who supposedly knew God. We love you flat out because you first love us. and you didn't just, you didn't say, I love you, and just said it or sang songs about it. But you clearly show the scripture says, herein is the love of God made manifest, that he gave his life. Herein is the love, God for the love of the world that he gave. It's always was followed with action. You have clearly shown us that you love us. And in that, we rejoice. But also, we are spurred, I hope we are spurred to live even more for you. You withheld nothing for us because of your deep, intense love for us. You gave us your most precious possession, your son. For God so loved the world that he gave us his son, only begotten son, meaning unique son.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. What a present. What a gift. We are forever grateful. And we'll be ever so mindful to give you and you alone all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor for this unspeakable gift. Your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.